Hello and welcome into the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. My name is Stuart Lawler and this is episode number 54. If you want to get in touch with us, podcast@sightandsound.co.uk is the email address. We always love to hear from you with your comments. Or if you've got something you want to talk about on this show, then please get in touch. We'd love to have you on. On today's programme, something of a legend in the assistive technology space, I'm delighted to be joined all the way from Germany by Marco Zehe. Stay with us. That's all coming up. I always find it interesting when customers talk about devices that they use, which we at Sight and Sound have been supplying and supporting. I find it potentially more interesting when I don't know these people. They might not even be our customers, but I see something coming across in this case, or at least in the case of today's guest, my Twitter timeline. And it prompted me to get back in touch with someone who I'm absolutely delighted to be in touch with because we collaborated on a podcast a long time ago when we were both, I think, at various other stages in our lives, our working lives. It's Marco Zehe, who joins us today from Germany. Marco, welcome to the podcast, first of all.
Thank you for having me. Hello, Stuart.
Great to hear you. I think I was looking back for a previous podcast I produced. It was 2014 when you and I chatted about something you were doing at that time called 30 Days with Android. We might get your thoughts on Android later, but thanks for joining us. I know you've had a lot of experience in the field of assistive technology over a long number of years, and you've seen a lot of devices. And the reason that prompted me to get you to get in touch with you was because your tweets were very very kind of excited, I think. When you got your hands on a Braille Sense 6 a couple of weeks ago. Can you tell us a little bit about sort of what happened and why you got so interested?
Well, I actually read about the Braille Sense 6 a while ago. I hadn't been in touch with most of the blindness-specific assistive tech for a couple of years, but the Braille Sense 6 actually made quite an impact on my blindness-related bubble on Twitter and in podcasts and so forth. So I started researching, and I had never actually had my hands on a HIMSS device before. So I didn't know the U2, I didn't know the Polaris, I didn't know the QBraille, or any of the devices HIMSS or Selvus have made over the years. And it was kind of interesting to do the research and then find out that the U2 was actually running on Windows CE version 6. Because for those who don't know, I go back with Freedom Scientific way into the 90s. I was one of the people instrumental in bringing JAWS to Germany and getting the German version off the ground in 1996 through 2000. And I was also involved heavily with the development of the PacMate, if you still remember that one.
Back in the day, absolutely.
Yeah, back in the day, that was a pocket PC device running JAWS, running a custom version of JAWS specifically for that. And we had back then like the custom Braille displays, you know, that you could slide into the main device, kind of like the QBraille, the LBraille does now with the focus displays. When I saw that, it actually reminded me a lot of the PacMate concept that we had in the early 2000s. And that was a special note taker of its kind. Of course, I knew, you know, the Braille and Speak, the Braille Light, all the Blazy engineering stuff that was around then, and which were basically the gold standard for Braille note taking in the 90s. And I actually used a PacMate for quite a number of years and then dropped out because I changed jobs and I had different focus in my life and so how things go. And then recently, like I said, I started researching the Braille Sense 6, and then I thought, okay, I need to get my hands on this. So I called up the local dealer here in Germany who deals with the HIMSS products, and he sent me two devices. He sent me a QBraille XL, and he sent me a Braille Sense 6. And the Braille Sense 6 absolutely blew me away because of its absolute ease of use, but if I wanted to have it, the flexibility of many Android apps at my fingertips, like Clubhouse or Google Docs or, you know, what have you. Like, I was able to get a Geekbench running on that thing to see how fast it is, you know, all the, wow. All the yeah. You know, technical stuff. And I found it very interesting to see how the Android interface had been adapted and how the mobile screen reader that HIMSS have created, which is basically a substitute for TalkBack, actually works and how it is tailored towards Braille output primarily and speech output that goes along with it, and Braille not being an afterthought. And that was really something that impressed me. Like, all the standard apps that come with it, the email client, the word processor, you know, and all these other tools like the podcast player and, you know, the Daisy player and all that stuff, they are so tailored towards being used with Braille alone, and obviously also with speech. But this is so integrated and so easy to use and so clean that it made me hugely more productive than I had ever felt on any like Android kind of platform before. And even when compared to iOS, which is my primary mobile platform, creating, you know, text files and, you know, writing up text is so much easier and so much quicker on a Braille Sense than it is. Like, when using an Apple product, you have to go into the others and you have to constantly switch between the touchscreen mindset and your Braille input. And even though Apple have made a reasonably good job at the commands for VoiceOver, it is still sometimes a bit clunky. And that's not the case with the Braille Sense apps that, you know, the custom-made proprietary apps.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you, I suppose, because what we've often talked about in the Braille Sense in this podcast previously and what HIMSS talk about is this idea of the note taker as an efficiency tool, which we all want, is something that you can do something quickly and yet be able to go into Android. And it always prompts the discussion about, is the note taker dead, or where does the note taker sit in the middle of our computing lives when we have so many other devices in our hands? Where do you sit on the whole note taker thing? Because you went away from the note taker for a while, as you said, you had other things in your life. You kind of fallen in love with the note taker again?
Yes, I have. And I've used other Braille note takers in the past. I'm primarily a help tech or handy tech customer, and they have Braille devices with note-taking capabilities, and they are good, but they are closed systems. Like, they have their own internal operating system, and you need to explicitly, you know, put something on an SD card or, you know, connect the Braille display to the PC and then transfer it over. And one of the things that I am very interested in, my fingers are hardwired to writing grade 2. When I have a Braille keyboard under my fingers, I cannot write anything other than grade 2, be it English or German. For those of you interested, I wrecked 2 Perkins Braillers in my lifespan because I wrote so much on them.
That's a lot of brailing. Okay.
That's where I come from. And you know how sturdy these devices are.
Right, yeah.
So, okay. So there's only one library that deals very well with German grade 2 when back translating it from grade 2 to normal written language. And that is a library called RTFC, the hypertext compiler. And, you know, HIMSS licensed it for the German market for the Braille Sense 6 and also previous versions. And, you know, this is also being sold standalone, so I can create a Braille file on my HandyTech display and then transfer it to the PC and back translate it there. And that works, but it's a lot more tedious than just going into the word processor on the Braille Sense 6, typing in grade 2, saving as a docs file, even like uploading straight away to Google Drive and have a fully working document in Word the next time I open my PC. And that's what I found really impressive.
And there is something lovely about writing. Ultimately, if Braille is your, and the way you're talking about German Braille grade 2 is hardwired into your fingers. And I, you know, I understand that from writing even English Braille grade 2. If mm-hmm. you have to jump in and out of grades all the time and mess around, as you've mentioned before, for example, on the iPhone with a Braille display, it does, it slows you down. It breaks your flow, doesn't it?
It does. And for me, it also has a very emotional component. Sighted people often say that handwriting is something completely different from writing on a keyboard. And I can relate to that in terms of writing something in Braille is for me much closer emotionally to my feelings and to my, you know, to how I express myself, especially when I keep a private journal, which I do, than writing it out on a standard QWERTY keyboard. It is something different. I cannot really point my finger at it, but it is something emotional that I again noticed when I started using the Braille Sense 6. It's an emotional component that comes with the fact that I can express myself in my language in grade 2 in Braille without any problems. And I haven't owned a physical Braille typer for a couple of years, so I haven't actually written on Braille paper for the same amount of time. So, but this actually like feels very, very emotional to me. And I don't know if you can relate to that or any.
As a multilingual user then, because one of the other big things that obviously came into the latter end of the life of the Polaris and obviously has been carried into the Braille Sense 6 is the use of the language profiles to be able to sort of seamlessly switch with Braille speech and system language if you want in one sort of fell swoop. Have you played with that kind of stuff?
Yes, I have. And I was absolutely blown away how well this works and how, you know, how far it goes, because most screen readers go halfway. Like they allow you to either switch the speech language and then you get something weird like English words, but still with German pronunciation in
right
when dealing with punctuation characters. But and in JAWS, for example, you have two different settings for Braille language profiles in JAWS 2022 and speech profiles. You could also switch the whole JAWS language, but then, for example, suddenly the English version of JAWS will no longer get all the things it needs to get from a German word, for example. So one thing that Freedom Scientific could really take a bite out of is make this more seamless. Like, okay, you want some more English context? You know, here's a combo of speech and Braille, maybe, and something. But I am already very impressed with the fact that if you switch the keyboard language on your Windows system from German to English, the Braille input language switches as well. That's in JAWS. That's really impressive. But the way this is done on the Braille Sense is absolutely brilliant. Like you get the full context, you get the full context switch, including the system language with all their prompts. And that's really awesome.
I'm delighted that you've liked it so much and that you took a lot of time to document, I suppose, things that you liked and, to be fair, things that you thought maybe could be changed to make the experience even better on Twitter. And if people go to your timeline, I'm sure they can search back through that archive because you've really taken the time, I think, to post it very, very nicely and very fairly, which is really the reason I wanted to bring you on the show. But Marco, while you're here, we kind of can't go away without asking you a few other things, because you've been around the industry, as you've mentioned already, into the early 90s, mid-90s in JAWS, doing all the stuff with Freedom and continuing on, and working on the Firefox browser, I know, for a long time, and Firefox OS.
Oh, yes.
But but talk to us, if you don't mind, because it really, I've been thinking a lot today about your 30 days with Android. And I spoke to you at the end of 2014. We did a piece for another podcast. And I'm kind of curious to say to you now, what's the state of, from where you sit, what's the state of Android accessibility today?
It has improved. It definitely has improved. I did another experiment, which I didn't document as cleanly and as extensively in 2019. And I used an Android, I think it was a Google Pixel 3 for a while. And that was before Android got multi-touch gestures. So it was still the old gesture concept that had been in TalkBack forever. So I definitely haven't done a comparison or a real run-through with the latest version of Android, Android 12, and TalkBack with multi-touch support. I have tried it a little and, you know, tried out how the different gestures now work and stuff, and found it funny because in the very first version of the Firefox for Android that we made accessible way before Google had as good accessibility in Android as it eventually got, we did something very similar with the rotor and how you changed rotor options and how you navigated via the rotor things. And this, what is in Android now with TalkBack, actually felt very similar. So I kind of felt rewarded for seeing that they somehow remembered how we did it in Firefox for Android years ago, and they took a bite out of that. That was nice to see. I think it's come along and it's getting better on the speech side. I think it can be used more productively nowadays. Unfortunately, for us who are interested in Braille, that situation hasn't changed much. Yes, Google have Braille input now on the touch screen. I don't know how well that works. I haven't tried that, to be honest. But the Braille support itself really, still being a separate downloadable thing and not being part of TalkBack and so forth. I mean, there's a reason why HIMSS made their own Android screen reader, essentially, that has proper Braille support. Because what is in BrailleBack and the TalkBack combination for Braille just isn't there. That's what's needed isn't there. And that is, that is really like a big, big problem. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to touch on one other thing that I kind of skipped. You asked me where I sit in this whole Braille note taker versus mainstream products thing. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I think the Braille note taker has its merits still for the efficiency reasons we mentioned. But also, I mean, if you look at what happened recently with Braille being broken in iOS updates suddenly, leaving many people with locking up Braille displays for a couple of versions, panning problems which are still not resolved as we record this podcast, and so forth. So there are things in the mainstream operating systems that work great, but when they break, they leave people in the dark. I'm thinking especially of deafblind people. Like, people who can use speech can usually get around these problems and use the touch screen and, you know, get further there. But if you're using something primarily with Braille, or if you can just use Braille because you cannot hear the speech, these bugs in iOS versions and the quality problems Apple has continually faced for the last couple of years, especially in the Braille field, really make the need for a note taker like the Braille Sense 6 that can get you the basics, like the email, word processing, and some other stuff without having to rely on your smartphone and a third party to actually fix their stuff. More important than ever. I think it's still very viable that to stay productive, you need something that is more than just a simple Braille display.
It reminds me, when you talk about that, it reminds me of, I know in my own case, maybe about 5-6 years ago when we were on, iOS 9 maybe, I was of the opinion that I can manage, if I'm going to a conference, I could manage with my phone and my Braille display and nothing else. And then one day there was an update and something significantly broke in email with Braille displays. And it's never actually, as far as I know, it's never been right since. I've never been able to use the Mail app properly with a Braille display. And yep. It sort of speaks exactly to what you've just said, to the point you've made that, hang on, actually, you got to have a backup plan because this stuff does break quite spectacularly sometimes.
Yes. I mean, I don't know how long email composing has been broken for grade 2 Braille in Apple. I've reported it several times. Other people have reported it several times. And it just affects the whole, the whole component that is being used. It's not just the Mail app from Apple. It also affects Gmail and I think even Microsoft Outlook if you use it on a Braille on an iOS device. So, yeah, that's just not good. And I don't know what is taking Apple so long to actually fix it. It's not like the lack of reports, because I remember having at least submitted 5 or 6 different ones of them with different versions of iOS, even iOS betas, going to the trouble of testing betas, but it's still not working, and it's not been working for a couple of years, and that's one of the reasons I think, yeah, you still need something, and in this today's connected world, you need something that's able to connect itself and be self, self-sufficient, like the Braille Sense 6, to actually get your stuff done and use it at least as a backup, if not as a primary tool for certain tasks, at least, to get stuff going.
I'm really delighted that you've sort of enjoyed exploring the Braille Sense 6 so much. And it's been really refreshing, I suppose, to hear from someone like yourself and some of the really constructive feedback that I've seen on your Twitter. There may be people listening in who because I enjoy just kind of watching your Twitter feed and you always post kind of useful bits and pieces. How can people connect with you?
Yes, if you are on Twitter, you can search for Marco in English, MARCO in English. That is my English spoken Twitter account. There's also one that has my first and last name combined. That's primarily German. So if you speak that, you're welcome to follow me there too. I usually don't duplicate content. But yeah, I usually have content tailored to the language that I'm currently speaking and the relevant people there and so forth. So so Marco in English is my Twitter feed. You could also find me on Facebook, but I'm not as active there. But Twitter is usually the best place. And I have a couple of tweets there, where I actually talk, as you say, about what could still be improved and what I would love to see in a future update for the Braille Sense.
I passed all those on to Hims, and I think you were chatting to Hims as well. And I think they've been very grateful.
Yes, I was.
To see that feedback. So yeah, I think it's brilliant. Marco, great to catch up with you. We won't leave it as long next time. But thank you for taking the time to chat to us today. Continued success with all that you do, because I know you do a lot of stuff locally in Germany to support the community around technology with your podcasts. And I said off air before we started this, I wish I spoke German because I'd love to listen to them. But best of luck with all that you do for the community. And thank you for all that you have done and you continue to do for us all. And we look forward to staying in touch.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Delighted to catch up with Marco there. Quite a while ago since we chatted for another podcast I used to produce, but so nice to be back in touch with Marco. And memories there of the old Packmate devices and Isn't it really interesting to read something so favorable and so constructive? If you look at Marco's Twitter, you'll see all his comments on the Braille Sense 6. They're definitely worth having a read. If you're thinking about getting a device, you won't go wrong reading some of Marco's feedback. Well, that's just about all we have time for on this episode. We're back soon. Until then, from Stuart Lawler and everybody at Sight and Sound, thank you for listening and goodbye.